how human and divine differ. This is a major thought in our thinking. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today, how human and divine differ. We all ask ourselves this question. We all wonder about it. And the answer comes up, they don't. What? The human and divine do not differ? No, that's right. Human and divine do not differ. That's very true. Human and divine do not differ. Now, why do human and divine not differ? Why is it that human and divine are all the same? Why is it that every human idea we have and every divine idea we have are all the same? Why is it that these ideas that go through our mind are all the same? Why is it that they are no different? You would think that a human being is a very limited being and a very simple being and a being that has no great aspirations to be something fabulous and grand like the divine certainly is. And yet, that's exactly what the human being is. The human being is divine. And, as Swami Rama would say, they just don't know it. They just don't know that they're divine. They just don't know that they are fabulous, wonderful, marvelous beings, so utterly gracious and super. They just don't know that. And because they don't know that, what happens? Because they don't know it, we live, in the manner that we appear to have in our current world. Now, what is the human being thought of in the current world? The human being is thought of, number one, having a body. How about that? The human being has a body, a physical body, corporeal body, a body that is made up of flesh and blood, a body that comes and goes, a body that exists, a body that wears out, a body that is born fabulous and grand and wonderful, magical, in every wonderful, marvelous way. And then, as the years go by, as the moments go by, the body wears out. The body returns to dust. From dust it is to dust return. Why? Why does it have to do that? It doesn't have to do that. It doesn't have to do that. We look at a drop of water, and we see the drop of water, and we think, what a glorious drop of water. What a marvelous drop of water. And then we put a tincture of ink in the drop of water, and it changes totally. Now, did the drop of water change, or was it the ink that was there putting whatever ink's properties are in the drop of water? If you have a glass of water and you put a tincture of ink in it, will the tincture of ink disturb the entire glass and make the entire glass look cloudy? You see, those are external things. The reality of the drop of water, from our illustration point of view, the reality of our drop of water is always pure and perfect. A drop of water always means a pure drop of water. It does not mean a cloudy drop of water. It does not mean ocean water. It does not mean lake water. It does not mean well water. It does not mean rain water. It means water, H2O. And H2O are a chemical derivative that are completely, absolutely, without any fault to them, without any blending to them, without any messing up with them. They are not imperfect. They are not impure. They do not have a drop of ink in them. The drop of water is the ideal. And we have that in our consciousness. We know that. We can understand that. And the drop of water always will be pure. Now that we become accustomed to drops of water that are tainted, that are fluoridated, that are created with a substance in them that makes them orange juice, or that makes them milk, or that makes them whiskey, or that makes them whatever, it's still water. It's still the fluid. Would the sun evaporate the fluid, it would return to its original purity and integrity. How very interesting. What happens to all the whiskey that's in the water? What happens to all the orange juice that's in the water? What happens? It just remains. It remains the orange-ishness that it was and never changes. In dilution, we think the orange juice is including the water, and the orange juice does not include the water. The orange juice includes whatever orange stands for. Okay, let's return to our original purity and integrity. It's not too hard to conceive of returning to our original purity and integrity when we think of a drop of water and the sunlight. And we think of the evaporation of the sun on the water. On the ocean, wow, masses of water rise into the sky from the lakes, the rivers, the ocean. And they go up to get in the sky, and they're purified. They're just drops of water, H2O. Maybe there's a little dust in them from the sky, but basically they're H2O. And when they are carried over the land, and when they're dropped over the land, they're dropped over the land by whatever the expectation of the land is. If the expectation of the land is a glorious forest that has its roots deeply embedded into the ground and it cannot be washed away, and the water comes down on it, too much or too little, whatever it may be, not differentiated according to what the need really is. And when that happens, then it comes down. It comes down, but what happens? It goes into the soil, whatever it can. It goes in through the leaves, through the plant's stem and surface. It goes through the needles of the pine trees. It goes into the plant, and then into the soil, and down into the area under the soil where there's a water-carrying basin, the underground lakes and the underground rivers and the underground sources of water for our wells and so forth. And it goes down, and as it goes down, it once again is purified of all the impurities, all of the things in it, like dust or whatever. And it is H2O reaching this water basin, and it comes up out of our well as a pretty nice H2O. Now, what it does have in it are some minerals, some other aspects that it picks up along the way. But these are not its nature. We call distilled water as perfect as we can have water without any minerals, without anything in it other than H2O. Now, we're dealing with this all the time, and we do not find this unusual. We do not find this beyond our belief, beyond our comprehension, beyond our realization that H2O is the ideal water. It's the ideal concept. Well, you and I, we are the ideal concept. We are the ideal concept of a being. And we put the label human being on us because we're on a human planet. We're on human earth. And as long as we have this attitude about ourselves that we are on a human planet, we will be on a human planet. But let's just digress for a moment, thinking about the drop of water. Now, the drop of water is always a drop of water. It's always H2O. It can never be more or less. It can be evaporated into the sun, but it's always there. Comes down as a rain or mist or snow, whatever it may be. It's always there. Our divinity, is always there. Though we may cover it over with dust, though we may cover it over with human limitation of a body that's less than ideal, less than perfect, less than wonderful, we have an idea what a good body would be. And that good body comes with us from birth. And we don't do much to mess it up from birth, although we work on it very assiduously. We do not do too much to mess it up, and then as time goes on, we eat foods that we think are not good for us. It doesn't really matter what we eat, it's what we think about it. And we think these foods are fattening. We think these foods destroy our body chemistry. We think these foods are not apropos to our ideal human body. And still we eat it, and still we drink it, and still we act upon it. The sun pours vitamin D onto our bodies, and our bodies delight in it. And yet we cover up our body so that it cannot receive the sun, even one little bit. In the wintertime, when our bodies want the sun more than anything in the world, we wear gloves even and a hat and a scarf and clothing that keeps the sun from coming to our body. And our body skin turns a very pale white. And we think, that's natural. That's wintertime. In the summer, we get sun, and so we get a nice tan. Not a lot, not a little, but just enough. And we know what to do. When the sun reddens our skin, we say, whoops, I'm getting too much. Now, we don't have to do that. We know. We know that after so long in the sun, it's going to redden our skin. Or we can tell ourselves, as some native Africans do, that the sun does not disturb them. But science will tell you, the Africans have the opportunity of getting a sunburn just as much as anybody else, not because they have this beautiful tan, but because they believe it. They believe that their sun is their sun. They believe that their body is subject to the burning rays of the sun. They believe that their body is subject to this. Now, when did they start believing that? Well, they started believing that when people of various races, people of various colors of skin came into their environment and told them that. And they didn't stop and think, hey, that's because the color of your skin. That's because of this, or that's because you, or that's because that's what thoughts you are thinking. Oh, yes, that's because what thoughts you are thinking. The human differs from the divine only in the thoughts it is thinking. The human varies from the divine only in the attitude it has in its consciousness. The human varies from the divine only in thought. And we have the opportunity to think thoughts that are our ideal thoughts. Can you think, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body? Can you think that my body is divine? Can I think my body is divine? I don't care what you think, it's what I think. And you will think whatever I think about my body, because my body will outpicture exactly what I'm thinking about it. Not what you're thinking about it. My body will outpicture what you're thinking about it if I'm thinking about my body, what you're thinking about my body. How about that? That's just as simple as it goes. Thoughts are things. Thoughts bring about results in our life, in our affairs, in our world, exactly in harmony with what we are thinking. Now, you say the drop of water didn't think of the drop of ink falling into it. Oh, yes, it did. Why is it every drop of water on the face of the earth doesn't have a drop of ink in it? Why is the natural, pure, perfect drop of water doesn't have ink in it? Because that's not what the water is. Why is it that every human being on the face of the earth doesn't express the limitations that other human beings express? Now, hey, here's the fun part. Why is it that every human being who expresses abundance, health, harmony, happiness, joy, all of these virtues? Why is it that everybody doesn't express those virtues? And the answer is because everybody expresses all those virtues to the degree that they think about them. They think about them. Do you walk through life saying, I'm vital, dynamic, alive, I'm vital, dynamic, alive, I'm fantastic, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. And you say, what a silly thing to do. No, it's not silly. That is how you put a cause in motion for your life. Now, I live in my ideal spirit-minded body. That's kind of nice. Now, I am a pure drop of water. Now, I'm water. Now, I could be an impure drop of water or a pure drop of water. I can be evaporated into the sun, or not into the sun, by the sun, every single day of my life, every single moment of my life, always being evaporated, always being returned to my original purity and integrity, because I'm always looking to the light. I'm always looking to my ideal self. I'm always expressing my ideal self, always evaporating all of those negative or non-beneficial thoughts that I have in my mind, like I have a drop of ink in me, or I have minerals, or I have fluorides, or I have other things. And the purity of my being, my ideal spirit, mind, and body, my H2O, my hydrogen and oxygen are absolutely pure. There is no other substance in me, around me, of me. I'm created as an ideal concept in the divine mind. That's true. I am created as an ideal concept in the divine mind, and I want to express that ideal concept from my creation in the divine mind every moment of my life. And the only way I can do it is say, I like me, I like me, I like me, is the only way I can do it is by constantly keeping my mind tuned in to who I really am. How human and divine differ? By the way they think. The human thinks it is human, and the divine thinks it is divine. Now, the divine never thinks it's human. The divine never thinks for one second that it's human. Should it do so, it would be human. Should you think for one second that you're divine, you're divine for that second. And every second that you think you're divine, every second you have in your consciousness, I have in my consciousness, every second I have in my consciousness that I am divine. I am divine. I am divine. That's my name. My name is divine. My name is beautiful. My name is wonderful. I am divine. That's who I am. That's what the world is. That's all I know. That's all I can reveal. That's all I can conceive of. That's all I can let out of my thinking system. I am divine. Now, why, if I am divine, and I am divine, why, if I am divine, do I ever think I am human? Well, I have created myself in a human world to see, to test myself, to see whether I fall into the trap of the human world that I'm in. Now, you take a beautiful Bentley. Oh, take a Ford. Take a beautiful Ford. And drive this Ford into a Chevrolet factory. Now, as this Ford is in the Chevrolet factory, it's going to look at the Chevrolets, and it's going to say, my, aren't they beautiful cars? What lovely cars these Chevrolets are. Gee, wouldn't it be nice if I had this curvature like the Chevrolet has? Wouldn't it be nice if I had the type of engine that the Chevrolet has? Wouldn't it be nice if I had the seat covers and all these things like the Chevrolet has? And you see, as the Ford compares itself to the Chevrolet, and as it sort of takes on the issues, takes on the attitude, takes on the reality of the Chevrolet, its outer shell, its inner shell, its outer appearance, its inner workings, pretty soon the Ford ceases to be and all you've got is another Chevrolet. However wonderful that may be. Now, you say, it doesn't work like that. These physical things don't work like that. Ho, ho, ho. You bet your life they do. Why are there so many people in the world who think life has allowed them to be sick? Life has allowed them to be poor. Life has allowed them to be unhappy. Life has allowed them to be born and die. Why are there so many people who have these thoughts? Because they associate with people who have those thoughts. It's not that that's their reality. Their reality is the original purity and integrity. Their reality is immortality. Their reality is divine. That's our reality. Our reality is that. Now, we allow ourselves to associate with the concept that we are limited. And so long as we associate with the concept that we are limited, then we are limited. I tell the story again and again of the queen who has a daughter and a son, and they call them a prince and a princess. And the prince and princess are normal prince and princesses. They're not human, they're not divine, they're not anything. They're prince and princess. They're growing up in the atmosphere that they are prince and princess, that they have royal roles, that much is expected of them. They're expected to be divine all the time. They're expected to be royal all the time. They're expected to be fabulous all the time. And if they ever allow themselves to drift away from their royal quality, their royal beingness, then that is the robe they'll put on. They'll put on that Ford robe because there are so many around. Or they'll put on that Chevy robe, depending upon what it is that they're putting on. If they associate with the commoners, they will become commoners. If they associate only with the noble, divine, royal people, why do you think they say royalty is divinely given, that the kings are divinely made? The kings and queens have their disposition given to them by God. And they live with this understanding they can do no wrong. The understanding should be they can only do right. But that's my point of view. That's my point of view. It doesn't have to be theirs. They can have any point of view they want. You can have any point of view. Now, do you want to be a divine king, a divine prince, a divine princess, divine queen? Do you want to be divine royalty? Do you want to be a divine human being? Well, you can't do it. You can only be a divine being. So long as you allow yourself to think human, you will think in the relativity level of being a human with all the limitations that a human being expects of itself or allows of itself. And perhaps the word allows of itself is the most important. Now, what do you want for yourself? How human and divine differ? The human thinks of itself as human. The divine thinks of itself as divine. And the human expresses what a human expresses. A divine expresses what a divine expresses. The divine has no idea what the human is going through, what the human is expressing, what is human. The divine does not even look up in the dictionary the definition of human. The divine only looks up in the dictionary the definition of divine and lives according to its definition because that's what it is. That's what I am. That's what all is. What is our choice in life? Do we want to be a drop of ink or the drop of water? Each is wonderful. Do we want to be the drop of ink dropped in a drop of water, making the drop of water cloudy and muggy? Do we want to be the dust on the diamond, or do we want to be the diamond? Do we want to be revealed, or do we want to be covered over, wishing for our revelation, wishing for who we really are? To be who you really are today means that you put the cause in motion so one-pointed that every thought you think is of your reality and of who you are now. And as you put that thought in motion, that is what you have. How human and divine differ? Well, for me, there's no human. For me, there's only divine. For me, there's only H2O. There's only my original purity and integrity. For me, there's only my stem cell quality of myself, undifferentiated, ready to do anything I choose it to do. And I choose it to be its ideal self, its original purity and integrity. I choose my stem cell life, my body, my being, my expression of anything in the outer, a reflection of who I am every moment of my life. And as I choose that, that is what I experience. Now, do I really want that? If I really want that, I've got it. Do I want that now? I've got it now. Do I want that forevermore? I've got it forevermore. Yes, I do. And I see you that way because I say, I love you. I love you. I love you. Have a lovely day, and remember, you and I are that pure drop of water, always. Now,